This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's 9 minutes after six on this Wednesday morning, part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Are you concerned about today's rising interest rates and how they can affect your farming business? Let Farm Credit Services of Illinois help manage today's interest rate risks. At Farm Credit, you have a choice when it comes to choosing interest rate products. Instead of dealing with the uncertainty of an adjustable or variable rate loan, a long-term fixed rate product can minimize the long-term interest expense for your farm. Plus, Farm Credit's team of loan professionals will explain the products available for your farming business, all designed with your cash flow in mind. So whether you choose a 7, 10, or 20-year product, a long-term fixed rate can be your hedge against a rising interest rate market. Call us today at 800-444-FARM for information on long-term fixed-rate products to fit your farming business, or find us online at fcsillinois.com. Farm Credit, a good fit for all your farm financing needs.
Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the right equipment to do the job and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. Now with part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Wednesday, we join WSMI Farm Director Angela Besh.
Thank you, Randy. Here are your closing prices from the Chicago Board of Trade. December corn was $4.25, down 1.25. March corn $4.35.5, down 1.5. May corn $4.43.25, down 1.5. November soybeans were $12.59 and a quarter, down 4.75. January soybeans, $12.50 and a quarter, down 6.25. March soybeans, $12.36 and a quarter, down 4.75. December wheat was $6.56, down 6.75. March wheat, $6.67 and a quarter, down 7. May wheat, $6.73, down 7.25. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
This is Tuesday's report of grain prices and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Tuesday afternoon. Corn found some support with export sales, but it was offset with a negativity of the large yield numbers of the USDA report coming out on Friday, which also pushed soybeans lower. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 1 cent lower at $4 to $4.19. Soybean bids were mixed at $12.25 to $12.60. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 1 to 2 cents lower at $4.02 to $4.19. Soybean bids were 6 to 7 lower at $12.33 to $12.53. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mixed at $3.91 to $4.28. Soybean bids were mixed at $12.20 to $12.73. Wheat bids were 5 to 11 cents lower at $6.30 to $6.55. Illinois soybean processors' cash soybean bids were down 6 at $12.58 to $12.74. Basis was steady to 8 to 24 over the January. Soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $4.22.80 to $4.30.80, down $4.10, with basis steady at 30 to 38 over the December. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were mixed at $4.33 to $4.40, with basis steady to 2 cents higher at 8 to 15 over the December. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted their producer corn bids down 1 to 5 cents at $4.19 to $4.24, with basis down 4 to steady at 6 under to 2 over the December. Soybeans ended down 5 to 6 at $12.55 to $12.60, with basis steadied up 1 at 5 to 10 over the January. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids mixed at $4.44 to $4.45. These elevators raised their soybean prices 1 cent with quotations at $12.80 to $12.86. Soft wheat closed 6 to 7 lower at $6.80 to $6.81. And Milo ended the day 1 cent lower at $4.64 to $4.65. Contract bids to producers for January delivery in the northern part of the state, corn at $4.04 to $4.20. Soybeans for January delivery in the northern part of the state at 1227 to 1252. Corn for January delivery in the central part of the state at 411 to 424. Soybeans for January delivery in the central part of the state at 1235 to 1258. Corn for January delivery in the southern part of the state at 412 to 434. Soybeans for January delivery in the southern part of the state at 1248 to 1273. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys, the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And now here are your closing prices from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. December live cattle, 132.05, down 5 cents. February live cattle, 133.82, up 15 cents. April live cattle, 134.15, up 25 cents. November feeder cattle were 164.77, up $1.17. January feeder cattle, 165.07, up $1.22. March feeder cattle, 164.95, up 77 cents. December lean hogs were 88.25, down 7 cents. February lean hogs, 91.82, up 25 cents. April lean hogs, 93.65, up 20 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday the 5th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 76 cents lower in the range of 82.16 to 84, with a weighted average carcass price of 82.75. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady with moderate demand for light to moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 58 to 63, 4 to 5 weights 60 to 67, 5 to 550 weights 64 to 70, and 550 and up 67 to 72. On the Illinois direct hog trade, barrels and gilts or country buying points were trading steady to a dollar higher, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $58 up to $64, with a few at $65. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled $16,722. And from the United Producers Livestock Auction at Shelbyville opening report for November 5th, steers and heifers were steady. Holstein steers were steady to a dollar higher. Slaughter steers, choice, were bringing 129 to 134, and selects were bringing 126. Slaughter Holstein steers, choice, bringing 120 to 125, and slaughter heifers, choice, were 129 to 134. Select heifers were bringing 127. Now from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 315 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 93.84, and that was $1.08 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $205.45, and that was 11 cents lower, with the select carcasses at $189.98, and that was 55 cents higher. Now from the Arthur Sale Barn Weekly Hay Report for Monday, November 4th, they had receipts of 780 bales, and starting with the alfalfa fair quality large squares, they were 60 to 65, alfalfa orchard grass premium quality small squares, 10 to 1075 a bale, large squares, good quality, were $87.50, and orchard grass, good quality small squares, $6 to $7.50 a bale. They also had some large rounds at $85, and the mixed grass small squares, good quality, $5.50 to $5.75, large squares, $3, small squares, fair quality, $2.50 to $3.75, and wheat straw, good quality small squares, $2.50. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 118,000. That compared to 123,000 last week and 129,000 for a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 436,000. That compared to 434,000 last week and 431,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. November corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.28. December corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.31. November corn delivered to Scottville, $4.28. December corn delivered to Scottville, $4.23. November beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville, $12.55. December beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville, $12.71. November wheat delivered to Scottville, $6.45. The pre-opening prices again are corn at Greenfield is $4.28, corn at Scottville is $4.28, beans at Greenfield or Scottville are $12.55, and wheat at Scottville is $6.45. That's all for part one of this morning's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this.
Thank you, Angela. It is 6:20 on this Wednesday morning from WSMI FM 106. Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar shows scattered light rain all around our mid-Illinois listening area at this time. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs, and by Stein Seed.
I'm here at Stein Seed with Myron Stein, and we're talking about field potential and Stein HP corn. Myron, what is high population corn all about?
Stein HP corn is a new line of high population, high performance hybrids with superior genetics, standability, and disease resistance. So growers will get the most out of every acre they plant by putting more plants in the field, maximizing the field's true potential.
Let Stein maximize your field potential this season. Visit Stein Seed online, on your mobile, or contact your local Stein Seed dealer.
Contact regional sales manager Gary Niemeyer or your local dealer. Ready to improve your farm's operating efficiency? Talk to FS about their precision farming programs and decision-making tools. M&M Service Company will provide you with an integrated system of agronomic products and services, placing the latest innovations of precision farming technology at your fingertips. And with expert analysis and recommendations, the process of decision-making becomes a lot easier. Discover how FS can apply precision farming technologies to your operation. Contact M&M Service Company today and find out why FS is your partner to a better future. M&M Service Company, your natural resource.
Cloudy skies, windy today with occasional showers. High temperatures in the mid-50s with falling temperatures this afternoon. West winds gusting to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, becoming partly cloudy, low temperatures in the low 30s. And for tomorrow, Thursday, sunny skies, highs in the low 50s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday, partly cloudy skies, low temperatures in the mid-30s, highs in the mid-50s. Rain totals so far this morning. Rich Henry of Staunton has recorded a half inch of rain. 7/10 of an inch recorded by Robin Schroeder of Jerseyville. 3/10 of an inch here at the Weather Center. And right now, cloudy, rainy skies. South winds at 13 miles per hour. The barometric pressure steady. And our temperature, 54 degrees. And it's time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by the Quality Engine Machine Shop of Litchfield, by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, and by the Monsanto Southern Illinois team. Once again, we join WSMI Farm Director Angela Besch.
The Senate has announced conferees for the upcoming negotiations for the Water Resources Reform and Development Act, or WRDA, and now they are waiting on the House to name its conferees. The hope is that the legislation can be completed this year. The Water Resources Reform and Development Act was overwhelmingly approved by the House with a 417-3 vote recently. The bill seeks to reauthorize the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to develop, maintain, and support the nation's vital port and waterway infrastructure needs and support flood protection and environmental restoration needs. The Senate's WRDA was approved on an 83-14 vote. The grain markets are fairly quiet right now as traders await the release of Friday's USDA report. I spoke with Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions about what outcomes he's expecting following the report.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's really the driving force right now. And the average trade estimates are out, basically with the trade expecting USDA to raise the size of the corn crop by about a half billion bushels from where it was in its September report, with no report given in October due to the shutdown of the government. And soybeans expected about a 65 million bushel increase in the size of that crop. The question, though, is what will USDA do? Even though those are the trade expectations that have been built into the market, there's an underlying fear that what if USDA goes even larger with the crops? And until we can get past Friday's report, I think that fear is going to hang like a big cloud over the markets and make traders reluctant to establish any long or bought positions.
And if those numbers come in, what traders are expecting, or even a little larger, what is the effect we can expect?
Well, the bottom line, so to speak, is what the balance sheet is going to show on the bottom line as far as surplus stocks, because that's what market prices respond to. And for corn, unfortunately, the average trade guess is to show that we're going to see ending stocks a little over 2 billion bushels. That's a lot of leftover corn. So it's going to be very difficult to rally corn market significantly, probably without a threat to either somewhere another major global production area of the world or a threat to the 2014 crop. On soybeans, the balance sheet is much tighter. The average trade guess is that we're going to have ending stocks of 172. Personally, I think demand is much stronger than that, but I don't have the confidence that the USDA is going to reflect that demand in this report. USDA has shown in the past that they've been very slow to acknowledge demand for soybeans. So overall, global soybean supplies are going to be relatively snug, but the trade is counting on a big South American crop to bail us out, just as they were a year ago, and that left the cash market to do the work rather than the futures market.
Again, that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. At the National FFA Convention this past weekend, Piasaw native Jacob Meisner ran for a national office. I spoke with him about his experience.
Yeah, well, my journey as a national FFA officer candidate started back in June when I applied to be Illinois' national officer candidate. And so at State FFA Convention back in June, I went through the interview process and was nominated from Illinois to be their candidate. And all throughout summer, in addition to juggling an internship, I started studying, doing a lot of research and learning about the process, and tried to get myself prepared so that when school rolled around, I could keep going and do a couple of practice rounds for interviews and stuff. School started up and started presenting workshops and practicing different interview techniques and strategies, and really learned a lot about myself through the process and about what it takes to be a national FFA officer and a representative for the FFA. And then it all culminated last week at National Convention. I went down on Saturday, the 27th of October, and the process started Sunday with a personal interview. And then on Monday, we had a writing exercise and a test with one-on-one interviews with each member of the nominating committee. Tuesday, we had a stand and deliver practicum where you present a 5-minute speech, and then the cut was made on Tuesday night where they took it from 42 candidates down to the top 24, and from that 24, they picked the 6 after a couple of more rounds of facilitation and more interviews and round robin conversations.
Sounds like a very rigorous interviewing process.
Yes, I've been joking around a little bit with some friends that after this whole experience and that week of interviews and practices, I'm pretty confident in interviews going forward just because it was such an intense, and you really got to think about yourself in a more deeper level when they were asking you questions in the one-on-one area, and really was an intense interview process.
Right. I imagine you'll have a little bit more confidence going into other interviews from here on out.
Exactly, yes.
And now this was pretty much your final task as an FFA member. You're hanging up that blue jacket for good now. Can you just share how FFA has kind of impacted your life?
I think back to my freshman year whenever I was getting involved in high school, and I knew that the FFA was an organization for agriculture, and I knew of it just because my dad and all of his family had been involved with it. So I just thought it was something that I would have to do to kind of continue on a family legacy. But as I got involved in my agriculture classes and learned what the FFA does, what it provides its students, I really started to think about some opportunities that I could take And I look back on my Creed speaking experience freshman year and how it pulled me out of my shell, taught me how to be a public speaker, and all of the different skills I learned early on in the FFA have really prepared me for my future. It definitely placed me to get into college and to be at the University of Illinois now studying agriculture education, and really sparked my passion for ag education and the industry of agriculture in general. I really definitely credit a lot of where I am now to the FFA and all the experiences I had in it.
Now, what are your future plans? You said that you're at the University of Illinois right now, majoring in agricultural communications. Where are you going from there?
Yeah, I'm currently a sophomore in ag education, and my future plans are to be a high school ag teacher and FFA advisor. I think back on my experience in FFA and in ag classes in high school, and I realized that I have a passion for agriculture growing up around it through my family's experience, and I see the future possibilities in agriculture education and know that I want to help students have similar experiences that I had and to help them experience their full potential.
Do you have any words of wisdom for kids who may be in FFA right now?
The biggest advice that I can give anybody, whether they're in the FFA, in high school, getting ready for college, or out in the workforce already, is take advantage of every opportunity that comes your way. You never know what doors are going to open and where they're going to lead unless you take that step and you're confident that no matter what, you're going to do well. Just know that you have to take advantage of those opportunities in order to better yourself and to succeed no matter what industry you're in, no matter what walk of life you come from. You have to take advantage of those opportunities. And that's been the biggest thing I've learned and that I want to share with everybody else.
Again, that was Jacob Meisner, originally from Piasaw. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.